Chapter 54. Sheridan, oh no, that's ancient history. I'd forgot it. Third member, a revolution, because ministers are not impeached and hanged? Sheridan, that's in contemplation, when we've got their confessions. But what I meant, was from over the water it is a deuced sight more serious to us than a debate and division, that are only like the liturgy on the Sunday known beforehand to all the congregation. Why, Bonaparte is going to marry Austria forthwith the Emperor's daughter Maria Luisa. Third member, the Lord looked down. Our late respected crony of Austria. Why, in this very night's debate they have been talking about the laudable principles we have been acting upon in affording assistance to the Emperor Francis in his struggle against the violence and ambition of France. Second member, bony safe on that side, what may not befall? Third member, we had better make it up with him, and shake hands all round. Second member, shake head seems most natural in the case. O House of Habsburg, how hast thou fallen? Enter Whitbread, Lord Hutchinson, Lord George Cavendish, George Ponsonby, Windham, Lord Grey, Baring, Elliot, and other members, some drunk. The conversation becomes animated and noisy. Several move off to the card room, and the scene closes. Scene B, the old West Highway out of Vienna. The spot is where the road passes under the slopes of the Wienerwald, with its beautiful forest scenery. Dumb show, a procession of enormous length, composed of 80 carriages, many of them drawn by 6 horses and 1 by 8, and escorted by detachments of cuirassiers, yeomanry, and other cavalry, is quickening its speed along the highway from the city. The 6 horse carriages contain a multitude of court officials, ladies of the court, and other Austrian nobility. The 8 horse coach contains a rosy, blue-eyed girl of 18, with full red lips, round figure, and pale auburn hair. She is Maria Luisa, and her eyes are red from recent weeping. The Countess de Lazansky, grand mistress of the household, in the carriage with her, and the other ladies of the palace behind, have a pale, proud, yet resigned look, as if conscious that upon their sex had been laid the burden of paying for the peace with France. They have been played out of Vienna with French marches, and the trifling incident has helped on their sadness. The observer's vision being still bent on the train of vehicles and cavalry, the point of sight is withdrawn high into the air, till the huge procession on the brown road looks no more than a file of ants crawling along a strip of garden matting. The spacious terrestrial outlook now gained shows this to be the great road across Europe from Vienna to Munich, and from Munich westerly to France. The puny concatenation of specks being exclusively watched, the surface of the earth, seems to move along in an opposite direction, and an infinite variety of hill, dale, woodland, and champaign. Bridges are crossed, ascents are climbed, plains are galloped over, and towns are reached, among them St. Poulton, where night falls. Morning shines, and the royal crawl is resumed, and continued through Linz, where the Danube is reapproached, and the girl looks pleased to see her own dear Donna still. Presently the Tower of Bran appears, where the animated dots pause for formalities, this being the frontier, and Maria Luisa becomes Marie Louise and a Frenchwoman, in the charge of French officials. After many breaks and halts, during which heavy rain spread their gauzes over the scene, the roofs and houses of Munich disclose themselves, suggesting the tessery of an irregular mosaic. A long stop is made here. The tedious advance continues. Vine-circled Stuttgart, flat Karlsruhe, the winding Rhine, storky Strasbourg, pass in panorama beneath us as the procession is followed. With Nancy and Bar-le-Duc sliding along, the scenes begin to assume a French character, and soon we perceive Chalons and ancient Reims. The last day of the journey has dawned. Our vision flits ahead of the cordage to Courcelles, a little place which must be passed through before Soissons is reached. Here the point of sight descends to earth, and the dumb show ends. Seen by Kersells, it is now seen to be a quiet roadside village, with a humble church in its midst, opposite to which stands an inn, the highway passing between them. Rain is still falling heavily. Not a soul is visible anywhere. Enter from the west a plain, lonely carriage, traveling in the direction, to meet the file of coaches that we have watched. It stops near the inn, and two men muffled in cloaks alight by the doorway from the hostel, and towards the church, as if they wished to avoid observation. Their faces are those of Napoleon and Murat, his brother-in-law. Crossing the road through the mud and rain, they stand in the church porch, and watch the descending drifts. Napoleon stamping an impatient tattoo. One gets more chilly in a wet march than in a dry, however cold, the devil if he don't. What time do you make it now? That clock doesn't go. Murat, dryly, looking at his watch. Yes, it does, and it is right. If clocks were to go as fast as your wishes just now, it would be awkward for the rest of the world. Napoleon, chuckling good-humoredly. How we have dished the Soissons folk, with their pavilions, and purple and gold hangings for bride and bridegroom to meet in, and stately ceremonial to match, and their thousands looking on. Here we are where there's nobody. Ha, ha. Murat, but why should they be dished, sire? The pavilions and ceremonies were by your own orders. Napoleon, well, as the time got nearer I couldn't stand the idea of dawdling about there. Murat, the Soissons people will be in a deuce of a taking at being made such fools of. Napoleon, so let 'em. I'll make it up with them somehow. She can't be far off now, if we have timed her rightly. He peers out into the rain and listens. Murat, I don't quite see how you are going to manage when she does come. Do we go before her toward Soissons, when you have greeted her here, or follow in her rear? Or what do we do? Napoleon, heavens, I know no more than you. Trust to the moment, and see what happens. A silence. Hark, here she comes. Good little girl, up to time. The distant squashing in the mud of a multitude of hoofs and wheels is succeeded by the appearance of outriders and carriages, horses and horsemen, splashed with sample clays of the districts traversed. The vehicles slow down to the inn. Napoleon's face fires up, and, followed by Murat, he rushes into the rain towards the coach, that is drawn by 8 horses, containing the blue-eyed girl. He holds off his hat at the carriage window. Marie-Louise, shrinking back inside, ah, heaven! 2 highwaymen are upon us. The equerry Dodonard, simultaneously, the Emperor. The steps of the coach are hastily lowered. Napoleon, dripping, jumps in and embraces her. The startled Archduchess, with much blushing and confusion, recognizes him. Marie-Louise, tremulously, as she recovers herself, you are so much better looking than your portraits, that I hardly knew you. I expected you at Soissons. We are not at Soissons yet. Napoleon, no, my dearest spouse, but we are together. Calling out to the equerry. Drive through Soissons. Pass the pavilion of reception without stopping, and don't halt till we reach Compiègne. He sits down in the coach, and is shut in, Murat laughing silently at the scene. Exeunt carriages and riders toward Soissons. Chorus of the ironic spirits, aerial music, first was a finished coquette, and now it's a raw ingenue. Blonde instead of brunette, an old wife doffed for a new. She'll bring him a baby, as quickly as maybe, and that's what he wants her to do, hoo-hoo. And that's what he wants her to do. Spirit of the years, what lewdness lip those wry-formed phantoms there. Ironic spirits, nay, showman ears. With holy reverend air we hymn the nuptials of the imperial pair. The scene thickens to mist and obscures the scene. Scene via Petersburg. The palace of the Empress Mother, one of the private apartments is disclosed, in which the Empress Mother and Alexander are seated. Empress Mother, so one of Austrian blood is pomp selects to be his bride and bulwark not our own. Thus are you coolly shelved. Alexander, me, mother dear? You, faith, if I may say it dutifully. had all been left to me, some time ere now he would have wedded Kate. Empress mother, how so, my son? Catherine was plighted, and it could not be. Alexander, rather you swiftly pledged and married her, to let Napoleon have no chance that way. But Anne remained. Empress mother, how Anne? So young a girl. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.